thank you so much for all that you do to make pastor's load lighter. All right, let's go to work. Let's look at the Word of God. If you'll stand with me for the reading of the Word of God, I want to call your attention to Acts chapter 14. Acts chapter 14. And if I don't preach good, at least you'll say I read a good scripture. Acts chapter 14, verses 1 through 20. The New Living Translation said, the same thing happened in Iconium. Paul and Barnabas went to the Jewish synagogue and preached with such power that a great number of both Jews and Greeks became believers. Everybody shout, they became believers. Some of the Jews, however, spurned God's message and poisoned the minds of the Gentiles against Paul and Barnabas. But the apostles stayed there a long time, preaching boldly. Everybody shout, they preached boldly about the grace of the Lord. And the Lord proved their message was true by giving them power to do miraculous signs and wonders. But the people of the town were divided in their opinion about them. Some sided with the Jews and some with the apostles. Then a mob of Gentiles and Jews, along with their leaders, decided to attack and stone them. Let the church say they stoned them. When the apostles learned of it, they fled to the region of Lycaonia, to the towns of Lystra and Derbe and the surrounding area. And there they preached the good news. Everybody shout, they preached the good news. While they were at Lystra, Paul and Barnabas came upon a man with crippled feet. He had been that way from birth, so he had never walked. He was sitting and listening as Paul preached, looking straight at him. Paul realized he had faith to be healed. So Paul called to him in a loud voice, stand up. And the man jumped to his feet and started walking. Everybody shout, the crippled man walked. When the crowd saw what Paul had done, they shouted in their local dialect, these men are gods in human form. They decided that Barnabas was the Greek god Zeus and that Paul was Hermes, since he was the chief speaker. Now, the temple of Zeus was located just outside the town, so the priest of the temple and the crowd brought bulls and wreaths of flowers to the town gates, and they prepared to offer sacrifices to the apostles. But when the apostles, Barnabas and Paul, heard what was happening, they tore their clothing in dismay and ran out among the people shouting, friends, why are you doing this? We are merely human beings just like you. We have come to bring you good news that you should turn from these worthless things and turn to the living God who made heaven and earth, the sea, and everything in them. In the past, he permitted all the nations to go their own ways, but he never left them without evidence of himself and his goodness. For instance, he sent rain and good crops and gives you food and joyful hearts. But even with these words, Paul and Barnabas could scarcely restrain the people from sacrificing to them. Then some Jews arrived from Antioch and Iconium and won the crowds to their side. They stoned Paul and dragged him out of town, thinking he was dead. But as the believers gathered around him, he got up. Everybody shout, he got up and went back into the town. The next day he left with Barnabas for Derbe. The word of the Lord for the people of God. Thanks be unto God. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. I want to tag this text this morning and prayerfully and quickly preach from the sermon subject, the joy and pain of ministry. The joy and pain of ministry. Look at a neighbor close by you and tell him, neighbor, oh neighbor, the guest preacher's preaching this morning from the sermon subject, the joy and pain of ministry. Amen. And look at somebody else and tell them, let's help him out. Amen. The joy and pain of ministry. I wanted to talk with you today about the joy and pain of ministry, brothers and sisters, because the work of God brings both celebration and suffering. Those of us who are called to do ministry, regardless of what capacity of ministry, must remain faithful, because the joy of serving Christ, Cameron, outweighs every pain we will ever experience. There's a saying, Phyllis, among seasoned pastors and ministry leaders: if you stay in ministry long enough, you will experience the best of people and the worst of people. I, for one, have been in ministry 48 years, 40 of those years, Bill, I have served as a pastor, and that's long enough to witness both the good and the bad in people. Ministry, brothers and sisters, is one of God's greatest privileges, but it is also one of life's greatest challenges. And I say this, Tori, because there are days when those of us who preach the gospel of Jesus Christ, we leave the pulpit rejoicing because someone accepted Christ, but there are other days when we leave with tears because someone misunderstood our intentions, questioned our motives, or even sought Deborah to wound our spirit. No one understood this better than the Apostle Paul. Acts 14 records one of the most emotionally charged chapters in Paul's ministry. Within 20 verses, Cofield, Paul experiences extraordinary success. He experiences fierce opposition. He experiences miraculous healing, public admiration, violent persecution, and remarkable perseverance, all in 20 verses. In 20 verses, let the church say 20 verses. He goes from being celebrated to being stoned, from being honored to being haunted, from being lifted up to being left for dead. Yet through it all, he never abandoned his assignment. If there's one truth in this chapter, or that this chapter teaches us, Deacon Nate Robertson, it is that God calls us, and the call of God is greater than the cost of ministry. Every pastor, every missionary, every evangelist, every Sunday school teacher, every deacon, every trustee, every choir member, every servant of God, every praise and worship member, every youth leader, every soul winner, every food pantry worker, every parking lot attendant, every media ministry worker must learn to live with both the joy and pain of ministry. Because if you only serve when people applaud you, you will never finish the race. When we look at this text, brothers and sisters, Paul and Barnabas are now traveling throughout Asia Minor on Paul's first missionary journey. And watch this, the gospel is spreading rapidly among Jews and Gentiles. And whenever the gospel is spreading, Satan is going to get busy. Satan, recognizing the advance of God's kingdom, intensifies his attack on the church leaders. What unfolds is a vivid picture of ministry cage in every generation. Whenever God works, Satan opposes. Whenever souls are saved, whenever church engages in rooted and grounded like this church, hell retaliates. Whenever churches start growing, resistance increases, yet God continues building his kingdom. Just like God is building God's kingdom in this church right here in the city of Houston. However, it does not matter how many souls are being saved. There will be some highs and there will be some lows in ministry. There will be mountain highs and valley lows. There will be days when you will be celebrated, Dr. Cofield, and there'll be days when those who do ministry alongside you will be ostracized, criticized, vilified, stigmatized, and some may even be victimized. That's why I wanted to highlight the salient points in this passage this morning, because when we examine this passage today here in Acts 14, Stan, we discover three realities that every servant of Christ must embrace regardless of what area of ministry you participate in. And you need to understand unequivocally that the first reality is the success of ministry. Let the church say the success of ministry. In the first seven verses, we see where God blesses faithful service between verses 1 and 7. And every servant enjoys moments when God allows them to see the fruit of their labor. Look at what verse 1 says. It says, a great multitude of both the Jews and also the Greeks believe. Notice Paul simply preached. Barnabas simply preach, but God did the saving. High five your neighbor and tell them God does the saving. The greatest joy in ministry is watching God transform lives. And God transforms lives because God's word, everybody say God's word, still changes lives. Paul did not entertain. He did not manipulate. He did not compromise. Everybody shout, he preached Christ. The gospel remains the power of God unto salvation. Paul said on one occasion in Romans, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, because it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes. Our responsibility as preachers is to preach the gospel and to relieve the results to God. Our responsibility is not to produce results. Our responsibility is to proclaim the message, because only God can change hearts. And I want you to know this morning, Good Hope, that there is joy in seeing lives transformed. There's joy when marriages are restored. There's joy in the preacher's life when addicts are delivered, children are baptized, and broken people are healed, and sinners become saints. I want you to know that nothing compares to watching God rescue a soul. And then we need to understand that God's power still confirms his servants. Look at what verse 3 says. Verse 3 says, God granted, watch this, signs and wonders through Paul and Barnabas. In other words, their miracles pointed people to Christ, not to themselves. When you do ministry, people ought to see something. I was riding in the car with your pastor on yesterday, and he was talking about rooted and grounded, and he was talking about he's trying to get people to understand it's not always what you say. Sometimes they need to see something. Have I got a witness here? Touch your neighbor and tell them people need to see your life. People need to see your walk. People don't just need to hear your talk. People ought to be able to see what a wonderful change in your life has been wrought since Jesus has come into your life. The greatest miracle today is not merely physical healing. It is a changed life, a hateful person becoming a loving person, a hopeless person becoming a person who finds peace, a lost sinner becoming a child of God. Because every transformed life reminds us that God is still working. Never underestimate what God can do through ordinary people who faithfully proclaim an extraordinary gospel of Jesus Christ. Success in ministry is never measured by applause. Stop waiting on people to celebrate you. Just lift up the name of Jesus. Because I read somewhere in his word where he said, and if I be lifted up from the earth,
I'll draw all men unto me. Somebody look at your neighbor and tell them, neighbor, help me lift Jesus. Stop lifting yourself and lift up Jesus. Success in ministry is never measured by applause. It's measured by our obedience. So the first thing in this text, that this text is tailored to teach us, is about the success of ministry. But secondly, this text is tailored to teach us about the struggle of ministry. I've had some good days. I've had some bad days. But all of my good days outweigh my bad days. Look at two people and tell them, I won't complain. Because just as sure as you do ministry, opposition is going to come, because opposition comes with the assignment. Every open door attracts opposition. Every victory invites resistance. Verse 2 tells us unbelievers stirred up hostility against Paul and Barnabas. The enemy has always opposed God's work. And then you've got to expect rejection. Everyone will not appreciate your ministry. But don't worry about that, because Jesus was rejected. When you go through the pages of the Bible, Jeremiah the prophet was rejected. Stephen was rejected. Paul was rejected. If perfect people were rejected, why should imperfect servants expect universal acceptance? Some will celebrate, DZ, your preaching. Others will criticize it. Some will thank you. Others will question you. Some will pray for you. Others will talk about you. But that's all a part of ministry. Because when we think about this gospel that we preach, Tori, the gospel comforts the broken, but it also confronts the rebellious. And then you need to understand, as you engage in ministry, you need to understand that spiritual warfare is real. I need a show of hands up in here this morning who can testify that spiritual warfare is real. Go ahead and high five your neighbor and tell them, neighbor, spiritual warfare is real. You don't believe it, but verse 5 stand reveals a plot to stone Paul. The attacks became physical. Whenever God's kingdom advances, Satan counterattacks. Sometimes attacks come from outside the church. Sometimes they come from inside the church. I wish I could tell you that all of the bruises and all of the wounds that I've received in ministry came from people outside of the church. But I've got to testify this morning that most of the wounds that I've endured and incurred in ministry have come from folk that I prayed over. Folk that I've held their hand as I walked through mortuaries and through the sanctuary, as they led their loved ones to the cemetery. Folk whose children I married. Folk whose babies I baptized. Folk who I've worn in my pocket and given money to. They are the very ones that have wounded me. Do I have a witness up in here? The attacks became physical. And Satan will always make sure that when you're doing good for the kingdom of God, that you'll also be under attack. But this text calls on us to remain faithful, because not every battle is against flesh and blood. Some struggles are spiritual. Therefore, God's servants must fight with spiritual weapons. Do not interpret opposition as failure. Sometimes opposition is evidence that your ministry is making a difference. The devil does not waste ammunition on empty churches or ineffective Christians. Do I have a witness here? So look at your neighbor and tell him, you're going to go through something. You're going to suffer sometimes. I don't know why I have to cry sometimes, but I know that there's going to be a day when all the mist is going to roll away. Somebody shout hallelujah anyhow. So this text is tailored to teach us about the success of ministry. This text is tailored to teach us about the struggles of ministry. But I won't let you go when I tell you that this text is also tailored to teach us about the sacrifice of ministry. Between verses 8 through 20, we see that faithfulness requires perseverance. When you look at this text, Lystra becomes one of the most dramatic moments in Paul's ministry. We see a crippled man is healed. He had been crippled from birth, but the Lord healed him. Somebody shout, the Lord healed him. And after the Lord healed this crippled man, the city erupts in excitement. Then within hours, the same crowd turned around and stoned Paul. And you have to be careful when people are applauding you, because human praise is unpredictable. But when you think about God's calling is not unpredictable. And I've come to tell you today, never build your ministry on human applause. The people cried, "Fill us." The gods have come down among us. Called Barnabas Jupiter. Called Paul Mercury. Imagine the temptation. Paul immediately refused the praise. The Bible says he tore his garments. I wonder why Paul tore his garments. I'll tell you, because ministry exists for God's glory and not our own glory. If criticism cannot stop you, neither should compliments control you. You ought to learn to stay humble. When God is using you, it doesn't matter what area of ministry, God is using you. You ought to learn how to stay humble. You ought to learn how to give God all of the glory. Because when you learn, Bill, how to stay humble, and when you learn how to give God all the glory, you can keep on going even when you are wounded in ministry. Look at what verse 19 says. It says they stoned Paul. They dragged him outside of the city and assumed that he was dead. Do I have a witness here? And can't you imagine the bruises, the broken bones, and the physical exhaustion? But I'm so glad that the story does not end with the stoning of Paul. When you read what verse 20 says, it says he rose up. Look at your neighbor and tell him, neighbor, sometimes you may have to go through some stuff. Tell him, neighbor, sometimes you may have to cry. Sometimes people may turn on you. They dragged Paul outside of the city, assumed that he was dead. Do I have a witness? But he got up. What incredible words. He got up. And not only did he get up, but he walked back and started preaching. Cofield, I've come to tell you, keep on preaching. In this thing that we call ministry, you have to learn how to persevere. Do I have a witness? Anybody, you've gone through something. Help me close this sermon. Stand on your feet. Look at a neighbor and tell them, neighbor, I've been through the storm and the rain, but I made it. Somebody shout, that's perseverance. That's the mark of a mature servant, is that you get knocked down, but you get back up again. Have I got a witness? Paul understood something many of us forget, and that is the assignment is greater than the adversity. Do I have a witness? If you keep on holding on, God will. Yeah, God will take care of you. Look at somebody and encourage them. They might be going through. Tell them, neighbor, be not dismayed. Whatever betide, God will. Anybody here, you know God will take care of you. Paul said, for I reckon that the suffering of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. He never forgot. The stones hurt, the scars remain, the memories linger, but none of those things compared to seeing Christ glorified. And one day, somebody shout one day, one day every faithful servant will stand before the Lord. And when you stand before the Lord, the criticism will disappear, the disappointments will vanish, the tears will cease, the wound will heal, the burdens will be lifted, and Jesus will say, well done, well done, thy good and faithful servant. Shake your neighbor's hand. Tell them, neighbor, go on and do ministry. Tell them, if they reject you, keep preaching. If they reject you, keep serving. If they reject you, keep ushering. If they reject you, keep holding on. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Keep loving. If they criticize you, have I got a witness? If they oppose you, keep trusting. If they knock you down, get back up again, because the gospel is still true. Jesus is still Lord. Yeah, yeah, yeah. This is for my friend now. Keep preaching. Preach when they applaud you. Preach when they criticize you. Preach when they celebrate you. Preach when you're forgotten. Preach when they don't appreciate you. Preach when they want you. Preach, and God will, God will, God will. Tell somebody, God will take care of you. He walks with me. He talks with me. He tells me that I am his own. Somebody shout joy. Joy.